Welcome to Office Hours. I'm David Meltzer. We're live here at the SiriusXM studios at the Wynn in the lobby in Las Vegas. And I'm blessed to have these amazing co-hosts. There's all types of different expertise up here, especially this guy, Wicked, American Idol.
We've all got different skills.
We all have different skills, but some of us are world-renowned like you and others. So they are just worldly.
It's a loaded panel here, though.
Justice Logan's learning every day and transmitting an old soul attitude here on Office Hours. Thanks for joining us.
Absolutely. Thank you, David.
And our first ever anchor woman. I love it.
Woo-woo.
Melissa May. She's a fighter and she brings some great insights with fighting and faith with our guests. So thank you for your insight and your wisdom and faith that you bring to the table.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right. Well, I love this show because it has a lot of heart. Now we're adding more heart to it with our CEO of Dale Carnegie, Joe Hart. He's a father of six, which I love. He calls himself a converted lawyer. You know, I'm a recovering one. He's a converted one. Wall Street Journal bestselling author and a friend of the show. Joe Hart, welcome back to Office Hours.
Thanks, David. Great to see you and good to meet everybody else.
I've studied Dale Carnegie for years, and leadership is one of the reasons I study Dale Carnegie and learn to be an intelligent follower, which is one of the philosophies of leadership within the context of Dale Carnegie. And 2026 holds a different type of mission, it seems like, a little bit of a shift to really empower our youth. And I was thinking, as a father of six, you know, what lessons in leadership have you learned inside your own home that you'll be amplifying outside of the home today, utilizing Dale Carnegie's theories, philosophies, and methodologies?
Yeah, thanks for the question, David. It's interesting because I have a little microcosm maybe of some Gen Z here in my house. And one of the things that I've realized, particularly over the last several years, is just how hard it is, I think, to be a young person. Young people today are dealing with stresses and anxieties and worries and things that we just never had to deal with when we were younger. And so really, I think it's more important now, maybe than ever, around helping them with their interpersonal skills, their self-confidence, their ability to communicate. It's just really very difficult. And we see that so many young people are not really well prepared, whether they're going into college or going into the workforce and so forth. So I mean, really, you know, our commitment as Dale Carnegie has been really to get as many of these principles and approaches and breakthrough kind of technologies, so to speak, to people so that they can really thrive.
And thriving is something you know about, Mr. Justin.
Yeah.
What a pleasure it is to reintroduce you to Joe. I think you guys were in New York together.
Cheers. Yeah. It's good to see you again. And thank you for being here. I love what you're doing with the youth and the youth. That sounds like it's old man-ish of me. Sorry.
Or my cousin Vinny-esque.
Yeah, the youths, the two youths. Yeah, you blend. So that being said, Joe, enough about me. I love what you're doing, and something about Gen Z that I have noticed, and even Gen A with my kids, is that they just show up. More often than not, especially on social media, they'll just show up. And as entrepreneurs, we sometimes have a challenge with doing that, right? It's something maybe we can learn from Gen A and even Gen Z. We want everything to be perfect. We want the T's crosses, the I's dotted. But what do you suggest for entrepreneurs who want to show up, who want to be visible, because being visible is what you have to be now in order to really, truly break through the noise? What do you suggest to people when they have that fear of looking like an imposter, fear of looking like a tryhard?
Yeah, it's a great question, because I think that's something that probably all of us have, right? I mean, even if we think about just going back in school, raising our hand, not wanting to look foolish. And now it's a little bit different because it's on video, it's on social media, it's something that's visible for the world to see. You know, and at the same time, I think some of the same principles apply just in terms of really kind of digging in deep and having the courage to try something. You know, one of the things that Dale Carnegie talked about is what's the worst that can happen? And often, you know, the things that we fear, you know, those things never happen. But yet those fears, you know, false evidence appearing real, can keep us from doing things that we really want to do. So part of it is, you know, taking that first step, giving it a shot, doing something in a small way, proving to ourselves that we're capable, and doing it ideally in a way that, you know, where we know we can be successful, and that kind of builds on it, right? I mean, it's just taking that first step. But, you know, Dale Carnegie talked a lot about fear. and how fear is a bully. And the way that we deal with fear is to confront the bully and do the thing that you fear, and the death of fear is certain. And I think that that's true whether we're entrepreneurs starting a new business, whether we are trying to break out and someone wants to be an influencer or do something on social media, you know, but we really have to confront those fears. And when we do that, we're often surprised that we're better than we think. We've got more confidence than we think, and it builds on each other from there.
Yeah, I think that's beautiful. It's just the doing of the thing that gives you the proof, and the proof you can build on, just like Legos, until you make the final structure.
That's right. And use that imagination to do so, which is ever important to being developed, as well as Dale Carnegie also mentions. Speaking of Gen Z, we got a Gen Zer on our panel, our Gen Z co-host, Justice. I'm sure you can give us some insight on the trajectory of Dale Carnegie in 2026, helping our youth.
Well, it's such an honor to meet you, Joe. And congratulations to all of your successes, specifically being a father. Because I think it's one of the most underestimated contributions to the world is being a parent and being a father and leading that next generation. So, you know, time management is the difference between spending and investing. We either spend time or we're investing it. Where would you say our next generation should be investing their time? And kind of a second part to that question is, in your book, you talk about conflict resolution. How important is it to solve conflict appropriately without reinforcing that dysfunction actually carried forward?
The first thing is where to invest. You know, and I remember my dad growing up, and he would always tell me that life is about personal growth. And so he really encouraged me at a very young age, you know, reading books like Dale Carnegie and Napoleon Hill and a whole range of other kinds of things to invest in myself. And I think that's probably true today as much as it was then, that the single greatest investment that we're going to make is the investment in ourselves and our skills and our capabilities. So, I mean, to seek those kinds of things. And I would say some of the areas, you know, I talk to my own kids about this. You know, how do I influence others? You know, where's the opportunity for me to have impact, to lead? And so, you know, the areas that I'm striving and that I would encourage my kids to strive on are those things that involve their interpersonal skills, their communication skills, their leadership skills, and so forth. So whether that's through Dale Carnegie or through books, there's a whole range of other books, clearly, and other sources, you know, but to say, I'm going to invest in myself. And the other thing is, and one of the things I like about that first part of your question is where to invest. And it's also where not to invest. I think one of the biggest risks that we have these days are there's so many things that can take our attention mm-hmm. and really suck our time away. So, you know, how do we be intentional? And just even to ask ourselves, you know, in the midst of, I mean, all of us can find ourselves, say, doom scrolling, right? And you know, is this really where I want to spend my time? Is this helping me? Is this helping me be impactful? There may be a time and a place, but, you know, we're constantly just challenging ourselves about, is what I'm doing having an impact? Is it helping me achieve the goals that I have? You know, but that was the first question you had. And the second thing is around conflict. And it's interesting because I think so many of us often want to avoid conflict. We think conflict is a bad thing. And one of the things that we teach in Dale Carnegie is that you can say almost anything if you say it the right way. And clearly, in relationship, we want to build trust. And part of that is being transparent. And that means that if there's an issue or a problem, that we're willing to have that constructive conflict. So, you know, one of the things I say constantly to my leadership team is, you know, it's healthy to have constructive conflict. If there's a problem, let's bring it up to the other person so that we can make them aware of it or at least have a dialogue around it. Let's assume positive intent in having that conversation, because sometimes we make assumptions that are just wrong about the way, you know, where someone's coming from, you know, but certainly, you know, if we do that constructively, then, you know, we can resolve the conflict. The problem with unresolved conflict is that, again, it can fester, right, and manifest itself in a different place. So, I'd say constructive conflict where there's a foundation of trust is a really healthy thing.
Once again, and conflict may be your expertise, Melissa May. Joe Hart.
I love that you talk about conflict, and I was actually thinking that exactly. When people think conflict, they want to avoid it because they think it's a fight. But fights actually can be good for you. We were talking about a little bit earlier about adversity and how it builds character. But a fighter never gets in a ring not prepared. We do our best to be prepared. And that comes from our foundation, what you're rooted to and through. And you spoke a little bit about fear, how people don't move forward because they have fear. But if you're prepared your beliefs, your practices, your spiritual habits, your disciplines. If you have those in place in the form of your foundation, moving forward into the ring of life isn't so scary. You actually go in there with the victory already won because you know you come prepared. But a lot of people don't come prepared, particularly our youth, because they've lost their identity or they're not grounded in identity. And identity is found in those beliefs and those habits, and it's grown there. So what would you say to our youth right now that are looking to find identity in a world full of so many distractions, telling them who and what they are?
Yeah, it's a tough question because, as you said, there's so many influences. And this goes back to the first question that David had about just, I think that it's harder to be a young person today because we look on social media, we fall into a comparison trap. We look at somebody else and we think, why aren't I like that? And at the end of the day, you know, we can only be who we are. And one of the things that, you know, Dale Carnegie was talked about was, for example, if I'm going to give a talk, earning the right, talk about the things that are authentically mine. And I think that's a process that we go through as we get older. Clearly, as we get, I've gotten older, I've felt more comfortable. I remember being younger and worrying a lot more. And if I could go back and give some advice to my younger self, I'd say, look, don't worry so much. I mean, just you know, who are you? What do you believe? And lean into those things. But I do agree with you that it's a really tough time, I think, to be young. The other thing that you said, which I really appreciated, was around just preparation. And, you know, we talk about, and Dale Carnegie talked about having reserve power, you know, which means when you really lean on preparation, you're going to give a talk, you're not going to memorize a talk, but you're going to know your topic. And so, and you're going to know maybe 10 times more than you need to know, so that when you get up on stage, you have that extra confidence. And that preparation, I mean, look, if we're not prepared, maybe we should be a little nervous, right? So that work, the fighter going into the ring, if that fighter hasn't done the work, that fighter might be in trouble. On the other hand, the fighter who's done the work and put in the time, and, you know, I'm like to run marathons. And one of my coaches once used to say, you know, the hay's in the barn. You put all the work in up front, and then you go out and you leave it out there. And that whole point about preparation is just so absolutely critical.
Joe Hart, helping build off of a legacy, Dale Carnegie's legacy, as I know the responsibility that comes with that, with our relationships with Napoleon Hill, directly related as well to Dale Carnegie. I think it's more than just the kids today have it really a difficult position, because I think it's an unfair position that we not only have all of these outside influences that weren't available or in existence when I was young, but it's unfair that we now say, well, you should really know who you are when you're 16 or 14 or 8. That's BS. And I don't mean the before Sharon Lecter BS. I mean the real BS.
Right.
Because I don't know, or I should say very few 14, 16, and 18-year-olds have that type of inner strength and confidence.
And I don't know that you should know exactly who you are at that age. I think part of one of the facets of life is continuing to evolve and to grow throughout the decades. And yet there is, unlike before, you know, we think back agricultural days, it was like, and the father and son, and not to be misogynistic about it, but like the son was there with the father and would learn right at the foot of the, and then came the industrial age where that started to break apart, right? The father would go to the factory work, right? And we started to lose that connection. And now an algorithm is telling our children who they are, right? And I think that going back to something that you said so beautifully, Justice, that Joe has done, is it's not just about being a father, it's about being a present father, a present parent, because your presence is their present.
Yeah.
And it can make a huge difference in a child's life.
And can you be a father without being present, though?
Yeah.
Sure.
Sure.
And showing up for our community. And that's what Dale Carnegie and the organization is about. And having Joe Hart as its leader certainly is accelerating and aggregating that community and creating exponential impact. It takes great leaders to create great leaders. Yeah. And the empowerment of our youth, one of the trajectories of Dale Carnegie in 2026. I want to thank another Hart in this group of Harts, Joe Hart, for joining us again on Office Hours. Thank you, Joe.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, Joe.
Yeah, thank you. Great to see everybody.
Great to have you here. Yeah. Come back, please. This is David Meltzer. We got a lot of Hart here on Office Hours.